and like to welcome you on this first day of our program to the session. And our session now is called Entering and Centering. And we have two very elevated souls to run this session for us, and I'd like to introduce you. First to Suman Ben. And Suman came to Baba as a child. She surrendered as a Madhaban Nawasi in 1992 and moved to Gyan Sarovar when it was built in 1996 and has been here ever since as a senior sister. And some of her specialities is she organises conferences for here in Gyan Sarovar and also in Shantivan. She also does teaching throughout India and the West. So wonderful, and we're very blessed to have her. And also to introduce Rosemary Ben. And Rosemary's been with Baba for 19 years, and she's based in Global Cooperation House in London. And Rosemary, you wouldn't know it, but came to Baba in her mid-50s and was drawn to the knowledge and felt at home with the knowledge straight away. Her service in London is, she's a real all-rounder, so she does a bit of everything, including events and admin. She works on projects, media, teaching, and even the cooking. So if you get tired of London, we'll have you in Melbourne. So I'd like to welcome and please enjoy. Om Shanti.
Good morning, Om Shanti. Thank you for that intro, Angie. That was very nice. I have known Suman Ben from a distance since I've been coming to Madhaban, which is 19 years now. So I'll be very interested to hear what she has to say.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, yeah.
It is, good. Yeah. And the topic I thought was interesting too. I don't know if you all understood it. I'm not sure I did, but hopefully something will come across.
Entering and centering.
Yes. Yeah. Deep, very deep for your first day, I think. And would you like to share a little bit first?
Okay. When I think the team, when they're planning for the whole season, because the theme for the whole season is Om to Om Shanti, right? So to experience that deep peace within the self, deep silence within the self, because it is through the power of silence that transformation happens. So I think they wanted to take everyone to that experience of deep silence. And to go into that deep silence, one thing that we need to pay attention to is maybe like, you know, because out in the world when our life is so different, and now when we come to Madhuban, we are still, you know, physically we are detached from there. Physically we are in Madhuban, but mentally somewhere, you know, the thoughts are still connected there. So to enter into that zone of silence and tapasya, because without the tapasya, the transformation doesn't happen. To enter into that zone, that detachment from, you know, all that mental detachment is very much important, and all the distractions. We might be having some responsibilities and things like that. So we are still on our telephones and WhatsApp and all these things, even after coming to Madhuban. But I think coming to Madhuban itself is such a great fortune, such a great opportunity. When I used to come as a kid to Madhuban, you know, like I used to be so excited. And I always used to feel that, wow, this, you know, the land itself is so elevated. Even being here on this land and doing nothing, you know, just sitting there, doing nothing, also we are absorbing so much energy, right? So, when we are physically in that zone, mentally also I think we need to tune into that frequency so that we can take maximum benefit of that. The first thing that we need to, I think, we need to have that aim. Why are we here? Right? Okay, socialization is good, okay, but what is the prime purpose of being here? You know, the main purpose of being here is to recharge the battery of the soul, right? To have that experience, and so that that charge will last for the next 1 year. Yeah. So we need to fill ourselves completely to whatever extent that we can, for that we need to find, I think, different ways and means to reduce the losses, reduce those, leakages, and so that we are able to gain more, experience more, and store more for ourselves.
I think I look at it, coming to Madhavan is, as Suman says, is such a sacred place. You just imagine the intoxication of knowing that Brahma Baba was here, God was here, is here, they're always here. And the vibration is unique. It is just extraordinary. And to think about that as you're walking along brings you a lot of pleasure. And it does stop you from the wild horses of the mind. Because when I first came, there were a lot of wild horses in my mind. A lot. And I come from a family that's a little bit disunited, dysfunctional. And so I have a very critical background. And so I would notice everything. I would observe everything. And that's good in one way, but not when I was being critical about things and spotting things. So I'm learning still to this day to step back. To really, especially when I come here, to leave everything behind, as Suman Ben says. But that's easier said than done. And so we have to have a special awareness of what actually is going on in the mind. There's a new book out which I can recommend everybody to get. It's Jagdish Bhai's fourth part, and brilliant, with some lovely readings. I've been reading it a bit. But I think for me, I'm really this year been working on awareness of really what is going on in my mind. Every moment of the day, which of course doesn't happen, but that's the intention, is to really, okay, what am I, oh, why am I thinking that? Work backwards and then transform it, because we are creators. Baba gives us this knowledge. It's very, very special knowledge, unique to the world. And we can actually change all that stuff that's going on in the head. And so we can come back here, mm-hmm. and whichever campus you're on, it doesn't matter. The vibrations are still there. And this is what I want to absorb. So as you say, silence. But silence, I don't believe we can be absolutely silent, to be honest. I think even if I'm bodiless, perhaps, and I have had the experience with Baba to be bodiless, but it is very special. And I think that if we are aware... I will in a minute. Thank you. I think if we're aware of what's going in our minds, and a study has been recently done that 95% of our thoughts come from our past, 4% about the future, and that leaves 1%. And what is that 1%?
Present.
That's shocking news. So we're able, with our new knowledge from Baba, to actually think about, am I in the now? Am I actually thinking of something else? Past, present, or future. You know, it's actually came as a shock to me when I heard about that. And it's true. So the awareness of what we need to be in our minds is there. And here you have no cooking, no cleaning, no service, nothing. And you will be able to go to the shops, you will be able to go to Dilwala Temple, you will be able to go to Peace of Mind, to Peace Park, and enjoy all those things in their present moment. But you don't need to think about them now. Think about what it is that I want to do, what do I want to take back, refresh, recharge, as you say, mm-hmm. and renew. This is a golden opportunity for us, and I think for me, Madhaban is always special. I think even if Baba doesn't come, I want to come because it's so special. And the Madhaban Nivasis themselves, just to be in amongst them, get to know them, talk to them, but always in a spiritual effort. We can lower our consciousness very quickly by going into social conversations about this, that and the other, or gossip or whatever. But if we can try and keep it spiritual, that will help us to transform. So that's a starter.
Mm-hmm.
Anything more?
Yeah, when I think of Madhuban, you know, like it's Baba mainly speaks of three relationships with him, right? The father, he's a father, teacher, and Sadguru. And when we come to Madhuban, it's our father's home, right? Literally, everyone feels. Not only Baba's children, but also non-BKs who don't have the introduction of Baba. But as soon as they enter the campus, they feel that, the feeling of belongingness. They have that, get that feeling of belongingness. And for Baba's children, it's much more than that. So as soon as they come to Madhuban, it's like the feeling of coming back to father's home, dad's home. And completely carefree, completely, you know, light. And that happiness is always there, and intoxication is always there. We have come to the Father's home, we have come to God's home, you know, Baba's home. And also, you know, like, Baba is our supreme teacher. And when we come to Madhuban again, of course, we are students all the time, whether we in Madhuban or outside Madhuban, we are students, but in Madhuban what happens is you are a student 24 hours, right? Because student life is the best life, they say, because being a student, you don't have to worry anything else. All the other responsibilities are taken care of by the parents. The children's task is to just study. So here in Madhuban, we get to study 24 hours, you know, like all the most of the time, you know, all the time is dedicated to study. And to whatever extent I want to study, however deeper I want to study, I can do that here because we have all that opportunity, all those vibrations, and all the support is there. Here. So when we are constantly aware of those things, I think we can make the most out of it. And the third is, Baba is also our Sadguru. The Sadguru is the one who bestows blessings. And Madhuban is called as the land of blessings. Whatever thought you create, that becomes successful. That, you know, you can see that in a practical way, practical form, because the seed itself, the thought itself is so powerful, but along with the thought, the, you know, land is also powerful. So whatever you think here, whatever thoughts you create here, then they become practical in our lives. So, you know, understand. When I understand the significance of my own thoughts, understand the significance of this land, and understand the significance of my own fortune, then I think, you know, we can make the most of it. You know, Baba is also known as the bestower of fortune. Right? So we are here to gather as much as fortune as we can. Right? So we are here to fill our, you know, aprons with fortune. So I think we need to be aware of these things. And then it becomes much more easier to, you know, fill and be, you know, with whatever aim that we have come to Madhubani, it gets fulfilled. Yeah.
I think that's a very nice moment to start the exercise, no?
Yes.
Thank you for that. I've got a little idea that you might like to do. If you'd like to go to your notebooks and open it to a blank page.
Do you have a notebook?
Everybody put a piece of paper. Can somebody give somebody a piece of paper who doesn't have one? Or you can do it mentally, it's okay. But it's better if you can write it. And I want you to think for another 2 minutes about what is your intention whilst you're here in Madhavan. What do you want to achieve? What do you want to... It could be something very simple. It doesn't have to be very complicated or grand. Be something very simple or something, whatever you want, that really you want to either change or transform or do in your service place or whatever. So just think about something for a minute or so.
It could be service place, it could be for the self-transformation, it could be about any sanskaras that you want to let go of.
Yeah, definitely. Always want to let go of those.
Or any particular virtue that you want to imbibe.
Yes. Are you all done? Anybody need more time? One more time. Okay, no problem. For a couple of other ideas is to deepen your relationship with Baba, maybe. Or to fix a perplexing situation you might have at home. Okay, the next little bit, it's not complicated, don't worry, is I'd like you to draw a circle around the intention. And I'd like you to draw it more than once so that you make a bit of a groove in the paper. This will deepen the intention. Just keep circling it and make it a strong intention this way. This can be a circle of protection around the intention. And so the intention can be whatever you've thought of, and because it is protected by God, it is also cocooned because you're in Madhavan. So it makes it extra, extra firm. Okay, that's it. I wish you well with your intentions. I was also going to share something, a little incident that happened to me about 10 days ago here. I was with a group of about 6 people, and I knew 5 of them, well, four of them, plus me, but I didn't know one soul. And I had a very interesting experience because we were asked to share, look at the person and share the virtues or whatever the vibration you felt from those people. And I was very curious to see that I found it more difficult to give some sort of essence of the people I knew. But the person I didn't know, I could say immediately. So what that proved to me that was that because I know someone, I have watched masks, or I have judgments, or I have thoughts about them, that I can't see them as the pure soul. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does it make sense to you? I was fascinated by this because, you know, you should be able to feel and see the virtues of people you know, but because of your constant action with them, you get blinded by the purity of the soul.
That's true. That's and so much true.
It is true. Yeah. And it's a valuable piece of information for me to really practice soul consciousness. But I also have to do that with the awareness of what's going on in my mind. Because if things are all happening in my mind, I can't really, really be soul conscious, I don't think.
Yeah.
So your stillness of the mind, the tranquility of the mind. Mm. And I believe this really is the only place I can actually do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm so caught up in my service place.
Yes.
This place is, you've got hundreds of places to sit, to go, to be quiet, to be by yourself, to really get to know who you are. And this is Daddy's favourite phrase. And I was brought up with Daddy in London, of course, so I'm very, 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 very fortunate. So, who am I? Who do I belong to? And what do I have to do? Three phrases that she has penetrated into us. And Baba's doing the same. And I think I was so caught up with service for about 18 years, it's only really now that I'm stepping back and really trying to get through to the soul.
That's very much important, yeah. Being a detached observer of our own self.
Yeah. Get to know yourself, you know. Be real about everything. Mm. Be natural, be honest. And people, for instance, I used to be affected by what other people would say all the time. Hurt, cry, horrible. But that's because I was weak. And so now it's so important to go back inside, and this is the opportunity here, this is why you're here, to go keep going inside, to find out who you really are and your strengths. And yoga power, there's nothing like it. And I made Baba my friend. Daddy Janki also told us this. Make Baba your friend. Because your mother and father, you probably had either issues with, or you had good relationships, or you had to obey them, or whatever. But a friend, you can say anything to.
Yes.
You can do what you like with a friend. And so I'm making this effort to make Baba my friend. And then he can tell me what's up with me too. You know, he'll say, oh, not so good. Don't do that. Any more to add? I could go on forever. But
yeah, you continue on then.
Yes, it's these wild horses that we have to tame.
Mm.
Because we've had so many births in the outside world. Being totally body conscious. We may have been happy for quite a long part of that copper age, maybe a bit of the iron age, because we're BKs. But that's a long time to have been attracted to the outside world. Yeah. So of course it's an effort we have to make. And it isn't easy. Baba says, yes, Raja Yoga is very easy. It is, but it isn't. And I think that to leave all of that outside, don't keep going on your phone. Do it once a day. You know, we're all, even all the young people,
They don't talk to each other.
And so when you do talk to each other, try and keep it spiritual. That's something, it's so easy to go into, you know, what did you buy today, or did you go down to this shop, or have you had your toli, or... Try and think of what, maybe reread the Murali. That is something that is very centering. Coming back into yourself, see
what
Baba really means.
Here in Madhuban, we get to meet so many people. How can we be silent? Like how do you, how can we refrain ourselves from not talking to those people? Because we just meet after many years. Like might be once in a year or once in, after many long time we meet.
It's true, and I'm not saying don't socialize.
Okay.
But keep your conversation spiritual. Yeah. I mean, you can ask after their well-being, or you can ask where they come from and introduce yourself.
Yeah.
But don't go down the road of the other stuff.
Yeah, don't get carried away by that.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. Thank you. That's good clarification. But yes, of course, this is our family. We're a family. We want to meet each other.
Mm-hmm.
But, I've been coming many times, more than 19 times, when I don't really know Suman at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, we should get to know each other. Not just on stage. I was wondering, too, whether there are any questions people want to ask. Because I think Suman's here. She can reveal a lot. Has anybody got any questions?
Can you get the mic? Yeah. Can you come on front?
Just come round here.
Cordless mic. Oh, cordless mic.
Om Shanti.
Why are we more harsh to be, bringing back the same point you said, the friends, and there are marks in which you see them, and the ones which you don't know, you approach them directly. This is similar to familiarity breeds contempt.
Yeah.
There is this bliss.
Yeah.
And does it also tell us why are we so harsh to our own nearest and dearest? And the friend we meet on the street is our heart goes out to them. And yet, our own friends, in a situation of lack of being aware, we are very harsh.
Mm.
And I've had an experience to fight saying I'm in young.
Well, there's a little bit more I could add too.
Yeah. I think the closer we come to a person, we start to see the negativities as well. The question was, the people whom we are not familiar with, we are very cordial with them, very polite with them. But the people who we know well, our parents, our brothers and sisters, our friends or whomever, we are not so cordial with them. We are harsh sometimes, not always maybe, sometimes we are harsh with them, right? Why is that? Why does that happen? Why is it so? Because one point that Sister Rosemary was saying that, when we don't know any person, then it's easier to take the positive vibrations for them and from them and recognize their virtues. But the person whom we already know, because we have already created labels, we have our own perceptions regarding them, so we most of the time we create negative labels, negative perceptions we have. We give importance to negative situations and incidents rather than positive incidents and situations, and that's how we have to consciously create positivity for the people whom we know, who they are very close. When we consciously create, what they have done for us, our parents, for example, they have sacrificed for us many, many things. So we have to consciously create that, because most of the time our energy and attention goes towards the negativity. What they didn't do rather than what they did for us, right? So I think it's a human tendency nowadays. In the Iron Age, the souls give more energy to the negativity. So I think we need to make that shift now, constantly paying attention to the positivity, constantly paying attention to the virtues. Because a stranger, when he comes, we have a blank slate. No labels are created regarding that person. So that's why we are very cordial, very polite to those people. And we want to create a positive impression of ourselves, maybe, on them. One of the reasons, maybe. But with the family members, you know, it's already the relationship and connection is already there. So I think we need to consciously make effort and change. And in one of the seniors' class, you know, that person mentioned, the brother mentioned very interesting point. He said, it's easy to get praise from outsiders. Mm-hmm. Right? Because, you know, people who come from outside, from Madhuban, they see Madhuban Nivasis with that elevated vision, and, you know, it's easy to get their praises. But to get the praise of a department, the colleague, the person who is working with me, that's challenging. Because we are working with that person day in and day out. That person knows me, knows my all faces, my negativity, positivity, everything that person knows. So, and that's how, you know, like, we get carried away by the negativity sometimes. And that's the reason, I think.
I also think there's something to do with karma.
Yeah.
We have to remember that the people closest to us are the people we've spent most time with and we have the most karma with.
Deep karma.
Deep, deep karma. And the other thing about people who we are harsh with is that they have triggered something in me. Sometimes I don't understand what it is, and it takes me time to understand that. But especially colleagues, as you say, people you're working with in your service area or even in your outside lokik job, if you have one. I admire people who go to work who are Brahmins, because they have to do double the work, because people just don't understand positivity and negativity in most cases. I mean, in the West, I think mindfulness is coming into play. But I met one day the CEO of the UK mindfulness group, and he was at one of our events, and he said, mindfulness goes so far, but you go further. I thought that was very interesting. Mm-hmm. And I think as you said, I think we have to detach from the behavior of the people who are closest to us. I had a serious situation with my daughter a few years back. She was very ill. And being a mother, I wanted her not to have the pain. But as a BK, I had to learn detachment, because I couldn't do it for her. I had to let her go through whatever she had to go through. And that was a big learning curve for me, because the things that trigger in us when we are with people, it can be very deep, deep stuff. And we don't know why people are triggering us sometimes. I have a particular two colleagues in London I frankly have an issue with. And I have to learn and look at myself and see what it is about me that I'm seeing in them. Because if I see something in them, it's bound to be in me. And so I need to let go of any of those masks, because we all have masks. And as Suman Ben says, I need to see the pure, elevated soul. And whatever they're doing, they have to do. They have to go on their own journey, they have to play their part, and they are playing their part. And they're teaching me a lesson to become detached, to visualize them as pure souls. It's not an easy journey, and we get put in front of people who we need to be put in front of. I think that's quite interesting to know.
Sometimes, you know, when we get sorrow from that particular relation, then we try to get detached out of, you know, burden. We feel it very difficult. Oh, let me get detached because there's sorrow there. And that's very painful. Detachment actually is very beautiful. No, when we look at the soul, as a pure soul, elevated soul, detachment automatically comes, and that detachment is very, you know, it's, there's no sorrow in it. That detachment is very, you know, like energizing, I can say. And there is happiness in it, and there is good wishes and everything for that person. But at the same time, I'm having the vision of soul, of being a soul. I the soul and that person also, elevated pure soul. And sometimes we are caught up in the relationship. And that is the reason there is sorrow. There's some triggers, then buttons are pressed. I think when we get detached from the body consciousness and then stabilize in that soul conscious stage, and then look at that person in that consciousness of being a soul, I think that really is very beautiful, and then the relationship can become even more cordial at that time. Because that is a foundation of our life, right? So we need to make that first lesson pakka. That is very important. To experience myself being a soul, and to see with that awareness of, you know, everyone is a soul. Not only a soul, but elevated, pure soul.
Because we're all God's children.
Yeah.
Even the last child who comes, you know, we mustn't compare. Everybody is equal, a soul. And I think you're right. It's a very beautiful thing to be detached, because if you have worked on yourself and started to love yourself, appreciate who you really are and your qualities, the five beautiful qualities that Baba gives us. And if I fill myself, I mean, for instance, in meditation, I go to Baba and I absolutely feel and absorb his love. And that is what is healing to me, very healing. And when I'm full, and hopefully I will leave here full, with all his love, then I can start seeing everybody in a pure light. But and I must try and keep that up for as long as possible until next year. Cross my fingers.
That will deepen even next year, right?
Thank you. Hopefully, inshallah. It is an important thing to have lots of meditation here, because in our service places, it's a bit different to Madhaban Nivasis, frankly. We don't spend enough time in yoga. And we're trying to initiate more in London, I must say, because it is the only way. It is the only way.
I remember one of the senior brothers speaking in the class that they used to sit in meditation for continuously 6 hours, you know, without moving. Can we do that?
No. And is my mind still? That's where the awareness of what's going on. Oh no, some little thought comes in.
So 1 hour, it's so difficult for us to sit for 1 hour, right? So, but here in Madhuban, you'll get opportunity to spend more. Because sitting yoga is very much important. Okay, we are karma yogis, we do karma yoga, but sitting yoga is powerful. So we have to practice doing that. Back at home, you don't get much time to do sitting, to do yoga while sitting, but at least here in Madhuban, if you have that aim, we can definitely do that.
Yeah? And I think in my experience, and somebody said this a long time ago, and I think it's true, that even sitting for 2 hours of yoga, which we have the opportunity to here, in a group, which is nice, the gathering is always powerful, is how much of that 2 hours am I actually in yoga with Baba? The mind, some little thought, oh no, this is where awareness is so important. Bring it back. But be gentle, be easy with yourself, don't be harsh. And I think, because the soul, I believe, is the softest thing. It's naturally very pure, very beautiful, very happy. And it doesn't want all this pain. And the only way I can resolve that is to be with Baba. And now, here, is the perfect opportunity.
Yeah, and whatever the result that we get from this process of, you know, tapasya, whatever the efforts, spiritual efforts that we do, the result, you know, we can't see the result immediately. Mm. Right? It takes some time because the sanskaras of 63 births are there. So to work on that 63 birth sanskaras, if we just meditate for, okay, you're Madhuban and then 1 week we meditated, 15 days we meditated, but why am I not getting rid of this particular sanskar? You know, like, we need to have patience. Now, sometimes in spiritual endurances, we lose patience. We are behind the sanskar, get rid of that sanskar, get rid of, but it's not going, you know, right? But then we lose hope. We start to feel guilty. We start to feel all sorts of things inside. But just let go of all that and be with Baba. Okay, we are making efforts towards that. Continue to do that. That's it. So lots and lots of patience is very much important on this path.
It was the first thing I had to learn.
Huh?
I'm a very impatient person. And it was the first thing I had to learn, patience. I'm still learning. I have a very good example. I may have told some of you before that the old cassette tapes, remember those? They don't have them anymore. Even CDs are now out of the window. A cassette tape has two sides, A and B.
Mm-hmm.
We've been playing side B for 63 births. All you've got to do is go, whoosh, flip it over and play side A. And that's what you have to concentrate on. Because the more you concentrate on side A, side B diminishes. It'll never go completely from the soul, of course, it's in the soul, but it can be diminished. So play side A while you're here, as much as possible. Are there any more questions? No? You know it all?
Yeah.
I guess if you could just elaborate a little bit on what are some of the signs in your own life that have allowed you to realize that you're actually abandoned on your spiritual
journey? Everyone got it, I think. Yeah, please.
Repeat the question for the audio.
Sorry. I was just curious, what are some signs in your own lives where you recognize that, yes, I'm actually advancing in this knowledge? Like, what are some of the signs that we should look for?
Very simple for me. Things that troubled me last year don't trouble me this year. I know I've progressed. I've moved on a little bit. and it is getting better, I have to say. You know, it is. I think the time is getting very quite fast, and we have to really focus and concentrate on the self. Daddy Janki once said on stage in London, she said, do you know who the most important person is? Me. She said that. And we are. I am the most important person to myself because nobody else can do this for me. Nobody. With God's help I will get it done, but He still leaves me with the responsibility of taking care of myself. And it is up to me to understand what's going on in here, why I'm affected by things, and to put a stop to it. But yeah, it takes effort.
Yeah, for me, I think as we progress, we can feel that lightness. And I think the thoughts or sanskaras, okay, sanskaras, or thoughts that used to worry before, they become less. Lesser and lesser. And I think, yeah.
Maturity.
Yeah.
It's called maturity, whatever
maturity,
age you are.
Yeah.
You can
and
put up
stability increases. Mm. You know, many, sometimes we get frustrated, we used to get frustrated for small things and things like that. I think over the years we try to understand much more deeper. We start to analyze on a deeper level, not just, you know, react to situations like that. but you know, understanding and then responding to those situations. Maturity, stability increases, I think.
And also I think the other thing is to physically clear the clutter. Have less possessions, have less of everything. And so your mind doesn't have to go to them, to cleaning them, to sorting them out, to giving them to charity or whatever. Simplicity in your life is very important. That's why I love wearing these white clothes, because I don't have to think about what to wear in the morning. So I just get up and get out. And if I have to go to a Lockheed affair with some senior, oh my God, what am I going to wear? That reminds me of the old days. I don't want to do that. But I think also if you can clear your home, and that's a starting point, that then you can start on your own mind too. Because the things don't upset you as much. I remember going to the theatre before Gyan in London, and somebody would be coughing, and everybody would be looking round and, you know, getting upset. And I just love the fact that here, we don't. If people are coughing, you have to accept what they're doing. If they can't help it. So why do I add to the vibration by saying, oh, why can't they stop coughing or take a pill or something? You know, that's, the energy is going out. That's not good energy. So we have to control what we're thinking. And then things affect you less. And then you know you're progressing. Sorry, Suman, you were going to say?
I think as we progress, there's natural disinterest. We don't force that disinterest, but natural disinterest starts to creep in. Yeah.
Yes.
It's okay. Yeah.
I mean, I love the fact that I don't need to go to the shop to buy anything. yes, I have a little list from London. They want this, that, and the other. And maybe I need one or two things. It's wonderful. Simplicity. Disinterest is a big word.
Yeah.
Yeah. What am I interested? Where does my intellect go? Pull it back. Be disinterested. I don't need the world out there. I have a big world in Baba's world. Does that help? Of course, everybody is progressing. Everybody is. Whether you like it or not, you are progressing. Another question?
How to practice soul consciousness? In meditation, we do sit and say, yeah, I'm a soul, Baba is the supreme soul. But how to experience it? Yeah, while working, we do. Yeah, I'm a soul doing the cleaning, I'm a soul doing the washing. But still, it's just for a while. It doesn't go long.
Okay.
Should I answer? Please.
In meditation, we use two powers, right? One of the power is power of thought. And another is power of visualization. I'm just creating thought, I'm a soul, I'm a pure soul, but I'm not visualizing it. We can't experience. Right? So these two things has to go together. When I say I'm a tiny point of light, sparkling beautifully in the middle of my forehead, I'm saying that, but am I seeing that tiny point of light? Am I seeing myself here? Am I able to visualize that? Just in a movie, we see those pictures very clearly. Can I visualize myself clearly, a point of light? To the extent my visualization is clear, to that extent your experience is powerful. So we need to work on our visualization techniques, visualization power. So these two has to go together. Not only thinking, but along with the thinking, visualization. Because my intellect has that power of visualization, picturization, right? So I need to use that power of my intellect to picturize it. When I say, okay, I go to subtle region, I'm an angel, I'm saying that, I'm thinking that, but am I able to feel it? Yes. With my subtle body, I'm up in the subtle region there with Brahma Baba. Can you feel it? So work on that. So when we work on those things, then experience automatically is deeper.
Is there a way to work on it, like how to visualize?
Repeat it. Repeat and make that clear, more clearer pictures. Because you have to work on your intellect, right? There's no set steps to work on it, right? But as you practice again and again, you master the technique. Right? So then it's possible.
I think too, from my own personal experiences, I'm not a great visualizer, and I don't think some people are.
Mm-hmm.
So the word you used, which I like very much, which I work on myself, is feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that if I open my heart up to absorbing the love that Baba has for me, a sense of belonging, a sense of purity, and I begin to feel that in my body, let alone the soul,
mm-hmm.
That comes with practice. And I often go to the soul world in my meditation because it's home, it's a safe place, it's comfortable. I am. I don't even say I'm a soul. I am. I just am. There's nothing else. And so the body begins to lessen its take on me, hold on me. And so if I'm in the soul world, I can visualize or at least feel Baba's presence. And he can put his arms around me. I feel that. I may not see it, but I feel it. So feelings, I think, are very important to connect with Baba. And that fills the heart. And of course, the heart is in the soul. This is just a physical thing. But I think the heart in the soul feels what Baba is trying to give us. And he wants all his children to be happy.
Does that help? I agree, yeah, because I do feel, but if sometimes I try to visualize too much, it gives me headache.
You're trying too hard. Relax.
But I do.
You're pushing
feel,
it.
Yeah.
You're pushing. Yeah, you know, don't do that. Be easy on yourself.
Yeah. Because it's something you want it very badly.
Yeah.
But actually, because you want it so badly, it's not coming. And the more you step back and relax, the more it'll come to you. It's a subtle desire. And we know what desires do. But there are good desires and bad desires.
Yeah.
There's somebody, a microphone over there. Hands up.
Om Shanti. Sister, you just spoke about the heart being in the soul. So I just wanted a bit of clarity on that, because Baba often says Dil Takht Nashin, that is, we are seated on his heart throne. But we usually say that the soul has three main components, which is Man, Buddhi, Sanskar, which is the mind, the intellect, and the sanskars, which is the habits. But where exactly is the heart, and how are the feelings generated and stored and reprocessed? So, how do we understand that?
Personally, I just accept the fact that in the world, this is the heart they use to express love. Yeah? This shape, which isn't really the shape of the heart, I don't think. I'm not a medical person. But, it's just a thought, really, of what the heart is. We've put a label on it. But the heart is the being, the love, the purity, everything that is in the soul. And so I don't know that I can explain it any further. I just accept the fact that the real heart is in the soul. Because that I take with me everywhere, in whatever body I'm going to go to next.
Can you say where the mind is in the soul? Left, right, left, middle or right? Yes. Somewhere? In the soul. Soul is here, right? Soul, towards the left of the soul is the mind. Middle is the sanskar, and then is this intellect, and then left is right is the sanskar. Do we say that? No. What is the mind? Mind is an energy of the soul. When the soul thinks, it's called mind. Right? When the soul decides or analyzes, it's called as intellect. And everything is recorded in the soul, and that's called as sanskaras. Right? So just like we have hands here, legs down there, head here, in the soul we don't say, okay, mind is here, intellect is here, and sanskaras are here. No, it's all in the soul. Those are the subtle energies of the soul. Mind, intellect and sanskar, they are the subtle energies and the quality of the soul. The soul can do, right? Things, analyzes and the recording happens. So, what is heart now? Heart is connected with feelings. The soul can feel, for that we say heart. Right? The power of feeling is called as heart. That's it.
Perfect.
Nothing else.
Perfect. Thank you. That's helped a lot. The experience. Experience tells.
Yeah, that's it. Feelings are his heart. That's it.
So we have a meditation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No more any questions?
Any other question if you can?
So, in order to finish, I think we're going to have a meditation. Sister Suman is going to enchant us with that. So that you have time to catch your bus and back to Pandavabhavan, if that's where you're going.
So now, you know, entering and centering, right? So now we have identified our purposes. Purpose of being here, aim of being in Madhuban. So how do we enter into that zone and, you know, properly achieve it? You know, one of the basic thing is to be always focused. And the next thing is to practice it. Practice whatever Baba says, whatever signals Baba gives. Because we might be, you know, sometimes we might be having many questions regarding our lives. What to do, what not to do. What is it Baba? What is it that Baba wants me to do? You know, I have this problem. I have this issue in my life. What is it that Baba wants me to do? So here in Madhuban, it's such a beautiful opportunity to just be with Baba, catch his signals. You know, Baba says, touching power and catching power. He uses these words. So it is such a beautiful opportunity for all of us to increase this ability of catching the signals from Baba. In prayers, we just used to talk to God. We just used to speak. But in meditation, we listen. We speak as well, but we listen to God. Right? So whatever we want to tell to Baba, let us tell, but also pause and make the mind and intellect silent to listen what Baba wants me to do. What is it that Baba wants to tell me? What are the, you know, hopes of Baba in me? Yeah? That connection with the, let us try to forge that connection with Baba. Many times back at home when we sit in meditation, might be we won't get that connection. We might be sitting there for half an hour. But you know, we are trying hard to meditate and focus. But here in Madhuban it's easy because the vibrations are already there. So along with that, taking the support and help of the vibrations, let us work on our inner self to clear the clutters, clear many of the things, and to deepen the relationship with Baba. You know, this relationship is based on subtle feelings and energy. It's not a physical relationship. He is subtle, I the soul is subtle. Right? So the only connection that can happen between I the soul and Baba is my feelings and thoughts. Right? So this only can deepen my relationship with Baba. So this is a good opportunity to deepen that relationship, deepen that love for Baba. Baba says, Mohabbat, sab kush sahaj bana deta hai. You know, like, love makes everything easy. When we have love for Baba, then love for the Yajna becomes easy, love for Baba's children becomes easy, everything else becomes easy. So we need to deepen that relationship with Baba. Right? So everything else is easy. You know? When as a kid, when I used to come here, when I used to experience a lot of love from Baba. And when I used to go back, you know, like because I was in university and, you know, you can just imagine students being in university, all types of distractions, attractions and everything goes on. But because I would have experienced that deep love for Baba here in Madhuban, that would sustain me for the whole year. So that has a lot of power. Yeah? So once we have that commitment for Baba, deepen that commitment, deepen that relationship, and everything becomes easy. Because Baba is with me, right? It doesn't matter, whoever the whole world is against me, it doesn't matter. Because God Himself is with me. Right? So then that power comes. That because of that faith, because I would have experienced that deep love and relationship, automatically faith increases, automatically courage increases. To face the world, we are ready. Right? So let's go into that cocoon and experience that deep love for Baba, deep relationship with Baba. Detach yourself from the surroundings. And stabilize in soul consciousness. Take some time to stabilize in the awareness of being a soul. And to feel and visualize it. Point of light, seated in the middle of my forehead, sparkling beautifully.
feel that energy of the soul. I, the soul, is a conscient energy, living energy. Elevated and pure soul. Radiating my purity around me. Stabilized in that consciousness of being a soul, I feel that I'm the master of this costume, the five elements, this body. When I'm aware that I'm a master, I'm detached from this body. Thus, this is just my instrument, the medium through which I express myself. But I am an elevated, great soul. God's child. Now gradually, with the help of my intellect, I visualize myself to be in the soul world, my home, sweet home, Paramdham, where everything is so silent, with the golden red light. Just like I am a tiny point of light, I see many such stars up about there. But amongst many stars, I can see my Baba, Shiv Baba, the brightest star. This is the ocean of love.
just by being in front of Him, I experience His energies. I experience His love, unconditional, unlimited love. The love that this soul was looking for, yearning for such a long time, the spiritual, unconditional love, is the real love that I'm experiencing from Baba. I feel as though Baba is keeping His hand on me and transferring all His love to me. Healing the soul, healing the deep wounds of sorrow, of many births. I'm opening up and allowing God's love to heal me. To clean me. I'm just allowing Him to work on me. As I surrender myself to Baba, I feel so light, completely carefree. And all my burdens of worry, sorrow, all negativity and waste are just dissolving. And I'm becoming much more lighter and lighter. Get combined with Baba, Shiv Shakti. Gets combined. In this combined form of with Baba, all Baba's love, Baba's powers are getting transferred to me. absorbing Baba's love, Baba's powers, gradually I come back to this world stage, back to my role, back to this body. But I stay connected constantly with Baba. An invisible wire is there in between Baba and me. Constant flow of love, constant flow of energy is happening. Being aware of this, I play my role on this world drama stage, radiating Baba's love to the entire world, radiating Baba's knowledge and power to the entire world, being an instrument. I'm just an instrument, a puppet, but Baba is my master. I give the strings of my life to Baba and I just follow his orders. With this consciousness, I'm so free from all worries and tensions and stress. Om Shanti, Shanti.
So we've been very, very fortunate to have the wisdom and the experience and the open hearts of these two very special souls. So I'd like you to join in an expression of your appreciation with a one-handed clap.